oven here. Amen. In evangelism, you get to do a lot of neat things. You get to see a lot of neat things. You get to do things. Last summer, we got to go to a Houston Astros game. And there was a boy, he was getting a scholarship from the Astros that went to Shady Acres. So we went, and it was Faith and Family Night. And we didn't know it, but Joel Osteen was there. Now, hear me out here. He got to throw out one of the first pitches. And so he threw that ball out, and I said, my little dainty voice, I hollered out, "You throw like a girl!" So you never know what you get to do in evangelism. Amen. People looked around me and just gasped, like, oh. And I went, well, he does. So take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 35. And if you're a man here, I hope you don't throw like a girl. Amen. I hope you're a preacher here, you don't preach like a girl. Amen. That message, Brother Tab, is right on the money. I've been in evangelism 23 years now, and one thing I've learned is pastors. I'm around them every week of my life, and I'm around them. I've seen a lot of them come and go in the last years. Me and Brother Lippy was preaching together one time in a church. And he come in on Friday night, and I'd been there all week. And I looked at him when he come and sat down next to me. And I said, Brother Lupe, I said, what do you do when you're an evangelist and preaching all week and you know the problem is the pastor? And Brother Lupe goes, great. And it would be funny, but that pastor now, his wife and him are both dead. They're gone. And they were my age. And what he did is exactly what Brother Tab was preaching about. He took advantage of God's people, took advantage of their money, and stole money, and then started messing around with the internet, pornography, and they're gone. I'm going to tell you, you don't mess around. Amen. This is serious. Amen. And if we're so narrow-minded that you can shoot a BB and knock both our eyes out. Amen. If it's sin, it's sin. No matter who does it. Amen. Genesis chapter 35. Begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, and God said unto Jacob. Now, we read over that. Don't think a whole lot about it. But let me ask you this. When's the last time God said anything to you? When's the last time you was on speaking terms with him? Amen. That's a big deal. God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Amen. Business had picked up. Say, why? God had spoke. And by ever going to meet with God, and some things needed to happen. Amen. Some people needed to get right. Amen, amen. And that's why we preach against everything. Amen. Bits of the world, we're against it. Amen. We're against Facebook. We hate it. Let me rephrase that. I hate it. I can't stand it. Amen. It's a gossip page. I've seen it split families, homes. I've seen it destroy ministries. I've seen Facebook get missionaries off the field. Amen. I despise it. I hate it. Amen. I hate how accessible everything is now. Amen. These kids, their phones, it's a mess. A 13, 14, 15-year-old kid has no business with a phone. I don't care who they are. Amen. You say, well, they're gone, you know, away from us. Well, they oughtn't be. Amen. 13-year-old kid don't drive. Don't work. Amen. Man, at home, when I was growing up, we wasn't allowed to look at the phone. Let alone be on it. We thought it was the bat phone. We thought that was where Commissioner Gordon called. And we thought Dad was part of the League of Justice. Phone rang. My dad said, I know you didn't answer that phone. No, man, we ain't looking at it. We scared when it rings. We wasn't allowed to be on the phone. No way. Now, some of you goobers sitting there, that's all you are is on the phone. Amen. You make us mad. Amen. All right. I'm back on the text. Verse number 3. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress. Let me ask you, did God answer you in the day of your distress? Hey, you ever been down and out and had God answer you? Said it was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. Man alive, we did that here tonight. We could make a golden calf. We just get the earrings from the boys now. I love it. Youth camp here, I guess 2 years ago at camp, we had one night. It was a weird night. I had 4 belly button rings put in my hand. And before that, I was happily ignorant of what they were. First one, somebody says, put it in my hand. I go, what is that? That's a belly button ring. I go, wait a minute, that was just in your belly button? Now it's in my hand? I try to get stuff out of my belly button every once in a while. I tell them I got such a severe innie, I got to wait till I have a full stomach to even clean mine. I guarantee you, I can almost, I'll bet $100 that there's somebody sitting in here right now with a belly button ring in. I guarantee you, I hope it burns. Amen, I hope it burns you. Amen. Buddy, I've seen it. I've seen the Spirit of God do that. They had a girl one night, I was preaching, she had one through her eyebrow right here, and then, you know, say, what do? I preach right at her. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And I said, boy, I hope that thing starts to be discomforting to you. I hope it burns. So that thing's of the world. God didn't tell you to put that thing in your eyebrow. I'm telling you, listen to that music and that stuff got a hold of you. And boy, that girl jumped up. Ah! I want it out. Amen. Maybe we could have some times like that again. No, you just sit getting mad at the preacher. Amen. Well, let me read here. Let me go on. It said the earrings which are in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. I bet you some backslider drifted back there and tried to dig them up, don't you? There's always one of them guys. We've had revival meetings where they put cigarettes and put their skull in Copenhagen on the altar, and invariably somebody will come by and say, what are y'all going to do that stuff? They're like this. Seems like an awful bunch of waste right there. No, man, we're getting rid of it. We're burning it. Amen. Verse 5 said, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. Now let me ask you something here. If you're a Bible student, do you think Jacob, do you think his countenance was something that scared them? In the Bible, Jacob was a smooth man. He didn't even have enough hair on him to pass for his brother. They had to put hair on him. Amen. He was a conniver. He was a supplanter. It wasn't his countenance that scared anybody. It was God Almighty. And the Bible says in verse number 6, here's what I want to get to, these next two verses. And Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Help us tonight, Lord. And God, what a message and what a meeting, Lord, we've been able to be here. And thank you, God, for meeting with us. And God, again, as we open this book, we're totally dependent upon Thee. God, speak to hearts. And Lord, bless the meeting. Bless Brother Charlie, God, as he moderates. And Lord, all the work going on around this church. Put a hedge about this place. Lord, all the kids out here in the parking lot and cars going. And God, just protect us here, I pray. And Lord, help us now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The word Bethel in the Bible means the house of God. Now, that don't mean that I'm trying to throw the Hebrew on you and all that. I took Hebrew and Greek in Bible school, and I couldn't quote either alphabet to save my life right now. Amen. It did not take. But I know Bethel means the house of God. And the word El Bethel means the God of the house of God. Now, tonight, amen, that's the message. Which one do you want? I've seen people that are real good at Bethel. Amen, you can. You can become polished at Bethel. Amen, you can administrate at Bethel. Amen, you can look good and, amen, everything be all right when it's Bethel. Amen. And don't get me wrong, I love the house of God. I love it. Amen. God saved me. I did. I got churchy. And I'm in church almost every night of my life. And I love it, but I'll tell you what, I love El Bethel more. Yeah, I love it when he shows up. Yeah, and that's what we're here for. You say, well, what if God doesn't show up? We're going to wait till he does. I like it, buddy. We've been in meetings before, and some of the men that I'm sitting around in here, man, memories go back. Amen. And, man, Brother Harry, me and Brother Harry started evangelism about the same time years ago. And, buddy, we've been in some meetings together. Amen. Brother Tab and Brother Charlie sitting over yonder. And, amen, Brother Mundy. And, hey, we've seen El Bethel. We've seen God move. But I've seen it where it's almost looked like there's a cloud in the room. I've seen it when you're afraid to lift your head up. I've seen it when you crawled to the altar. And then other times we've ran and we've shouted and we've danced and skipped and people's walked the pews. And buddy, we've had a time, say why, God Almighty met with us. El Bethel. El Bethel. Things change when it's El Bethel. Amen. Let me say, number one, El Bethel is a place of remembrance. He said, go back to the place where thou fleddest from the face of thy brother. He said, remember when you called on me in the day of your distress. Hey, he went back there and built an altar. Amen. And he called the place El Bethel. And he remembered what God did with him. I'm telling you, God's interested in that. Amen. He is the God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. The Bible, buddy, over and over again in the Old Testament, he says, open thy mouth wide and I'll fill it. Boy, ain't you glad here tonight? Ain't you glad that God saved you? Ain't you glad that he reached down and pulled you out of the pit? Hallelujah. Hey, El Bethel is a place of remembrance. Amen. The saints of God, they get wild, man. They'll start talking about when they got saved, and after a while, it's on. Amen. My scare is there's some folks that I ain't never seen over there in El Bethel. Amen. I don't know. Maybe you ain't never made it to Bethel. I don't know. Maybe you ain't never got in. There's something's got you with a sour look. Amen. Something's got you. Been here tonight, look like you're constipated. Amen. Everywhere we go, it's like that. You ought to see it from up here. Do you remember? Do you remember when He saved you? Or is Mama telling you when you got saved? Amen. Do you remember? I don't know. Maybe you got out of church, didn't you? Got out in the world. Has it zapped you that bad? You sit here tonight and feel like a stranger? Amen. Didn't He save you? Amen. Hey, that'd be a good night to get right with God. Be a good night to get back in. Brother Harry's talking about, man, your loved ones coming. Some of the loved ones are here tonight. Amen. Man, somebody prayed you in tonight. Amen. Say, where at? Right here, last night, around this altar. And there you are. What a coinky dinky. Amen. Remember your first church? Remember the first time you heard old-fashioned preaching? And that preacher's finger looked like it was that long, and he's preaching right at you. You remember that? You remember the first church you was in, and now God's people, you thought they were perfect? I was an oddball down at PBI. I didn't go down there to go to Bible school or nothing like that. I went down there because I'd got thrown in jail and lost everything I had. And my mom and dad was living in Pensacola, and they were going to church there. That's how I wound up there. But when I got saved, man, those people, they were bigger than life to me. Some of those old folks in there, man alive, I remember, man, they were saintly to me. And they loved me. But it made a difference in my life. Amen. I announced my call to preach, and there was folks more excited in that church than my own family was. I remember Brother Dan Gilbert. He was one of my mentors in life, one of my heroes. And I remember he was more thrilled than my own family was. Brother Harry, he found out that when I got saved and all that, I still owed my daddy $700 for bailing me out of jail. And one day, Brother Dan Gilbert slipped up to me in church there and kissed me on the cheek and slid some money in my pocket. And I said, oh, no, sir, I can't take that. And he said, no, you will take this, son. This is for you. This is a gift. This ain't a loan. This is a gift. I thought it might have been 20, 50 bucks. He walked away, and I reached in my pocket, and I pulled out seven $100 bills. And I'm going to tell you, in 1982, I did not know people done such things. Amen. Say, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, El Bethel is a great place to be. Amen. Do you remember when God's people were real? Do you remember your first Bible? Amen. First Bible I had was one of them Jerry Falwell Bibles somebody gave me. Amen. Big old thick Bible, Falwell Bible. Then the next Bible I got was a Cambridge me and my wife got. Amen. Where Dr. Ruckman, his wife, bought me and my wife Bibles, brought it to us out of the bookstore. Boy, you talk about a treasure. Amen. And we got our Bibles. Amen. And God reached down and pulled us out of the muck and mire of this old world. You wonder why when they start singing around here and start singing them songs, amen, that we're not ashamed to shout. And we love Him. And amen. Some of us, we came out of the gutter. Amen. From the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen. And every once in a while, it's El Bethel. Amen. Place of remembrance. Place of remembrance. I'll tell you what else it is. It's a place of repentance. These folks got rid of their false gods, got rid of their earrings. Amen. They changed their garments. Amen. Time to get right. Some of you sitting here, the first time you ever experienced El Bethel was at youth camp. Amen. First time God ever got a hold of some of you has been at camp. And buddy, I'm telling you, God moves at camp. I love it. I'm an eternal camper. Amen. And I love to be around it. God is interested in you kids. Amen. Buddy, when things start happening and, man, it's repentance and crying and tears, you wouldn't believe the things we've had to deal with at the altar at camp. You wouldn't believe the explosions we've had to deal with at camp. What is going on the internet and all, you got to be careful what you say. But we've had kids come down the altar broken, tell things what's going on at home that we have to call the sheriff. Amen. But this place we're living in, this whole world is full of hell. It's a wicked place. But if we could ever get God to move, in a building or a place where we can meet and God move and us, amen, deal with our sin. Do you know what a miracle that is? And man, to get right with God and things fall off and, hey, get rid of some things. Where would you be without it? Nowadays we got a generation with no repentance. They say they're preaching against repentance now. Somebody gave me a tape one day, and the guy's an independent Baptist, calls himself independent Baptist. He's preaching against repentance. I rolled my window down the van and pitched it out the window. Say, why? So if I ever run into that little pinhead, I won't knock his lights out. Amen. Say, why? He's preaching against the very vehicle where I found God. But that was the avenue where I got to him. It was old-fashioned repentance. Hey, if it's wrong, quit it. You can't quit it, kick yourself. Lock yourself in a room. Amen. Our old preacher used to get behind the pulpit there, and he'd be teaching us, and it would just be us guys. And he'd be chewing on popcorn or peanut hulls or something, and he'd be spitting them out, and his glasses would be down like that. And he'd look at us guys, and he'd say, I want to tell you boys something, man. He'd say, I know you guys. You better get rid of your dirty books, man. Then he'd look to see who squirmed. He'd say, you better get rid of it, man. You better get that out of your life. You better get right with God. You better come clean with Him, man. Yeah. We're all sitting there trying to not make eye contact with Him or anything. Boy, we're missing so much of that nowadays. Place of repentance. Nowadays, you've got no remorse. No respect. Amen. You know what the difference is? Hey, here tonight, you know what the difference is between seeing and believing? Repentance. That's the difference. Amen. We were raised in a generation that we were made to respect people. Amen. Y'all remember that? If I shook a man's hand, my daddy was anywhere around, I had to shake that man's hand hard and look in his eyes. If I did otherwise, Dad would warp you. Amen. Swarp you. Amen. Nowadays, no respect. Amen. And you know what it causes? No repentance. You know what it causes? A load of resentment. But you know what you got? You got folks that sit in church, never repent, and you know what they do? They just get resentful. They just start to pick. And they start to pick apart everybody. Say, why? No repentance. No repentance in your own life. Amen. Preachers already hit it. Amen. As a pastor, as an evangelist, stand up here and use this here to preach against everything, amen, that I'm doing. That's the preaching that sounds the best. That's the stuff that's most convincing. You're preaching against stuff you're doing. You know what El Bethel does? It exposes that. Amen. without repentance, there's a load of rebellion. Just a load of it. Amen? And then, God help us. Romans chapter 1, you know what the Bible says? It says they're reprobate. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Come reprobate. Nothing fazes them. You can sit here, God Almighty move, don't even faze you. God help us. Amen. El Bethel. I'll tell you what else, it's a place of revival. Amen. We've had revival meetings before where they've lined the altar with stuff. We was in a meeting one time, Hacker Valley Baptist Church. Brother Charlie was pastoring, and we had a meeting, and I'm not exaggerating. They probably burned $5,000 worth of stuff. But we had a bonfire. And I'll never forget it. We had one old boy brought his album collection. And the first album he took out was Ozzy Osbourne, Speak to the Devil. And he opened that album cover up and had him sitting on the throne with horns and red eyes. I walk around with that and I go, there he is! There's the devil! Threw him in the fire. Old black smoke rolled out of there. And there was a boy standing there. And he had a Winston drag racing hat on. And he came that night and he visited that night and he was like this. He was. He took that hat and threw it in the fire and he went. He walked up to Brother Charlie a little while later and he goes, Brother Charlie, I think I might be in trouble. Brother Charlie said, why? Because you threw your hat in the fire? And he goes, that was my daddy's hat. Hey, I don't know if it's El Bethel here tonight. You might have to throw daddy's hat in the fire too. Amen. Maybe with daddy's head in it. Amen. I'll tell you what, I'd sure like to see some meetings like that again. We had a meeting like that down in Panama City, Florida, and there's an old boy. He got up. There was stuff lined up. There was bags wrapped up. Said, do not open. And there was a computer in there, a stereo. And this old boy, one night, he jumped up out of a seat and ran out of the building. Ah! Came back about 10 minutes later, and he walked in the doors, and I was still preaching, and he had a skateboard in his hand. And he walked in like this. Tears running down his face with that skateboard. And I said, son, there's something you need to say? And he walked right down the front right there, and he held that skateboard up. He said, everybody in here, when they see me, they know me to be good on this skateboard. And he turned around and he laid it on the altar. And he said, from now on, I want to be known as a soul winner. And that old boy ended up going to Bible school. And I ain't heard here lately. I hope he's doing right. Amen. Let me ask you, what do people know you as? What are you known as? Huh? You good on a motorcycle? Wow. Huh? You good arm wrestler? Wow. That'll really get you. That'll really get you far. Amen. Have you ever won a soul to Christ? You ever prayed with somebody at an altar? You ever got one of your coworkers come to church with you? You ever stood out here on the stoop and watched for them? You ever stood out there and finally you see that car and you go, there they are. Yes. Man, you're waiting. They're parking. You're going, oh, man, they're here. And you, hey, man, open the door. Come on in. You say, man, I want to introduce my pastor and people in the church here. Then there's people you don't want to introduce them to. You see somebody and you go, oh, no, come on this way. Then you introduce the preacher and you're sitting there with him during the service. And you start praying for Brother Charlie like you never prayed for him before. And you're praying, oh, God, get a hold of him, Lord. God, get a hold of my buddy. And the preaching starts and you watch him. He starts to fidget. His hands get clammy and sweaty, and he's wanting to reach in the songbook, and he don't know what to do. And you're watching him, and during the invitation, you see a tear swell up in his eye. And you look over and you say, "You want to go down there? I'll go down there with you." And I had a buddy of mine, that same scenario. I had a friend of mine, we called him all kinds of things. He was the King Quick Bandit for a long time because he robbed King Quick stores with a sawed-off shotgun. And we called him Eddie the Animal because he was built like a silverback gorilla. And old Eddie got saved. Me and Dee went to his house and talked to him. And he come to the door and he answered the door. He looked and he goes, "Mark, is that you?" "Yep, it's me, Eddie." And he goes, "Man, you look different." And I took my Bible, Brother Harry. I was my first year of Bible school, and I laid it on his kitchen table. And I said, "Eddie, anything you ever wanted to ask a preacher about the Bible, you can ask him now." He said, "Man, you thought you knew a lot first year of Bible school. I knew more than Ed." To Ed, I was a Bible scholar. And we sat up till 3 o'clock in the morning. And that next day I asked Eddie, I said, "Down here is the Dayton Baptist Temple." At that time, Gerald Fleming was still pastor then. I said, "Won't you go down there? We're going to go down there tomorrow. Won't you go with us?" He said, "Man, I don't know. It's late." We talked him into going. And he come in that big old church, and Brother Fleming was still alive then. And he preached, man, he preached like a house on fire that morning. He had a big, long platform, and he preached on hell. And he'd walk back and forth like old Brother Coley, and he'd say, "Don't go to hell, don't go to hell." And he had one of them mics that had the cord on it. And a deacon was over. He'd let him out, and then he'd pull him back in. As he, "Don't go to hell, don't go to hell." And that deacon, man, he was sweating. He had a round cord there, a big old tall platform, but that preacher preached. And I looked down there at old Eddie the Animal, and he's sitting there like that looking, and he's preaching about hell, and he had an old black T-shirt on, old rock and roll T-shirt, and hair down to here with blue jeans with holes in them. And we got to the invitation, and that song leader got up, and they had, 2,000 people in there, and they had social workers, I call them, standing there with their Bibles. And I looked at old Eddie, and he's gripping the pew, and he's crying, and I said, "Eddie, I'll go with you, buddy, if you want to go." He goes, "I need it, Mark. I need it." So we stepped out. One of them social workers, they look at him. And I go, I said, "He's with me. I'll take care of this." And they're like, "Okay, thanks." And me and Brother Eddie, we knelt down right here on this side of the pulpit. And you can ask my wife. She had talked to his wife, and his wife said that she was saved. And down there getting saved is old Eddie Milby, and you can see the tracks in his arms where he'd been shooting heroin. And he was getting saved, and Karen was over there going, "Woo! Woo!" And I told Eddie, I said, "Eddie, will you take my hand?" And he put that big old claw in my hand. I said, "I can't get saved for you, buddy." I said, "But the best way you know how, you call on Jesus Christ. You ask Him to save you. You tell Him you know you're a sinner." And old Eddie went, "Oh, God, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, would you forgive me? I trusted you, Lord." And old Eddie got saved. I didn't know it. We didn't know it. He had the same stuff that Brother Danny Hall did. And he had, before long, he had a beeper on his belt. And that old liver, he'd shot that old dope and them old needles. And Most of my buddies are dead with that stuff. I don't know. Maybe all of us will die of that. I don't know. But I know he got down to where he weighed 100 pounds, 90 pounds, 80 pounds. I even had him meet Brother Danny, and Brother Danny talked to him. Only difference is he didn't get his transplant. And old Eddie, they called me one day, and his wife said, "Mark," said, "Eddie, they got hospice here." And they said, "Eddie's got maybe the day, maybe tomorrow." Said, "He's been calling for you. Said he wants to talk to you on the phone." And I heard this little voice go, "Hello?" I said, "Eddie, is that you?" "It's me, Mark." I said, "Eddie, tell me you ain't going to make it." "I ain't going to make it." I said, "Eddie, you remember getting saved? You sure you saved, Ed?" "I'm sure I'm saved, Mark." I said, Eddie, it won't be long. I said, there'll be two young men come in your room dressed in white. Go with them, Eddie. Amen. I don't know, I may be doctrinally wrong there, but I heard Brother Danny Hall tell that, so the last thing old Eddie said, he said, I love you, Mark. Thank you. I had some old buddies. I didn't win many of them, but I got to win a few of them. You say, why? God got real big with some of us. And we've had our ups and downs, tossed and turns. We've backslid. We're all, like Brother Charlie said, we're all just a mess. But I know this, folks. I know when it's been El Bethel. I know when he's in the house. And let me say, this man, Jacob, this is a place of renewal, because you know what God did? Verse number 10 says, and God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. You know what Israel did? You know what he walked with the rest of his days? Because he wrestled with God. Somebody mentioned that. He walked with a halt. And that old man, you know what he did? They changed him into the most synonymous word with God's people that's ever been. And his name became Israel. An old preacher said, I can prove the existence of God by one word. And that one word is Israel. You know what happened? You know what happened at El Bethel? God changed a whole lot of things. Let me ask you, sitting here, you have sat here tonight in the presence of God Almighty. Is there something you need done here tonight? Something you need to do? Amen. I'd get on this altar and I'd beg for help. I'd beg and ask. Amen. See what God will do here tonight. Amen. Heads bowed.